Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Squad, the podcast from the military children's charity Little Troopers. My name's Katie Thistleton, I'm a TV and radio broadcaster and mental health ambassador.
And my name's Tom Smith, I'm a military child turned professional rugby player.
If this is your first time here, then welcome! Squad is the place to come to if you're a military child or teenager. This series covers lots of different topics that are important to you. Friendships, family relationships, coping with deployments, moving house. But today we're going to focus on another big part of young people's lives. Yep, school is just a part of teenage life, right? Timetables, teachers, school dinners, and of course, exams. That's right, in this episode, we're going to talk about those dreaded tests from common entrance exams and SATs to GCSEs and A-levels. And let's face it, they can be even harder to manage when you're from a military family. You might have moved around a lot, you might have dealt with changing curriculums and exam boards, or had a parent deployed and that distracted you from your revision. Tom, how did being from a military family affect how you coped with exams at school, do you think?
I think it made it a lot harder, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think children, civilian children alone, it's a difficult time. You've got the stress of exams, friendships and everything to do with just being a child, really. So with the extra stress of moving house or mum, dad being away or both, it can definitely put more pressure on you. It's a very stressful time. And what about you? Did you sail through school or did you have a few dodgy results days?
I was all right. Yeah, I did relatively well, to be honest. I think I found it really stressful. I always struggled a little bit with sort of anxiety and stress. I was quite a worried teenager generally about
similar,
everything.
Yeah.
And that was with me being a civvy, you know, that was with me being at the same school with the same parents in the same town. So I can understand that it must be really difficult if you're moving around and your parents aren't there and you're changing schools and stuff. I think my mum dad were really good though at just sort of reinforcing that all I needed to do was just pass my exams to get through to the next stage of whatever I wanted to do in my career. Like they didn't put pressure on me to get like the top results. And I was a bit of a crammer as well. I don't know about you, but I would leave the revisions till the last minute, and then just completely cram. But enough about us. Let's crack on with the episode.
You're listening to Squad.
Today, we're going to be catching up with two military teens who are at the opposite ends of their secondary school exams journey.
My name's Emily and I'm 13 and I'm in year 8. I've just sat my common entrance exams and even though my GCSEs are quite a long way off, I'm already starting to think of them.
And I'm Brooke. I'm 15 and I've just started year 12, which means I've recently sat my GCSEs and got the results.
Whilst everyone goes through exams, school life can look different for everyone, especially military teenagers. You might board, you might go to a local state school, or even a military school abroad. Let's find out more about Emily and Brooke's school and military family situation.
At the moment, I'm in the Netherlands because school's finished and obviously I'm here for the summer holidays. I actually go to school in the UK. Where do you go to school?
I currently go to school in Stamford, which is near where I live because my dad's in the army, but we live with my mum and he kind of moves around wherever it is that he's based. But next year, he's due to be based at the local RAF camp. So we're moving back onto base. So we will be together again, but I'll still be able to stay at the same school, which is quite cool.
How many schools have you gone to in total?
I think it's around 6 different schools, which obviously gives a lot of opportunities to make lots of friends, but it's also hard, you know, leaving them at the end of each move. How have you found like the school experience so far? Have you had to move a lot?
At the beginning, I moved whenever my dad moved house, well, bases. So I was moving schools quite a lot. But when we moved to Scotland, we decided that I didn't like leaving my friends because I kept having to leave them. So we decided to go to boarding school. So I now have been at the same school since year 3. So I've been able to keep all of my friends, which has been really, really nice.
How have you found like the boarding school experience and the transition from living with your family to boarding?
I really enjoy boarding now. It was a bit difficult at the start because obviously I was quite little when I started. And also I was the only girl year 3 boarder at the time. So I was sharing a dorm with the year above me, so the year 4s, which was a little bit daunting for me at first because I didn't really know anyone and they were all a year older than me. But we soon became really good friends, which is really nice.
How often do you travel back to like see your family and stuff?
Well, when my family used to live in the UK, my mum used to come over for Saturdays so I could see her then. and for matches and things, she could watch me. But because of COVID, we were only really coming back for the main holidays now, because obviously because of quarantine, we couldn't come back for half term, because otherwise you would spend like 2 weeks in quarantine, and then you'd have to 2 weeks quarantine in the UK as well. So it just didn't make any sense. Are there lots of other military children where you go to school, or are you one of the only ones?
There's a couple others that I know of, because there's quite a few military bases nearby. How have you found like moving from different schools? Has it got easier or harder? Is there any schools that you thought it was better at?
I think it was hard every time, because you're still moving friends. You're leaving friends and then you're making more friends, and then you kind of know that you're just going to be leaving them again, which is not a very nice feeling, because you're not going to make a really, really strong friendship with them. Do you feel supported as a military child at your school, or do you not feel that supported?
When you're like younger, the teachers, they're closer with the students anyway, you know, it's that you're younger, you rely on them a bit more. And I think that you get more support, you get more help, you know, they're made aware of the situations and that they'll help you if you need help. When you get older, it's sort of not there as much. And I think that it can still be like just as difficult. You're more used to it, but it's still the same situation, the same experience that you're going through. Just because you're older, it doesn't mean that it's easier. My dad's been deployed, I can't even count how many times, it's been so many. But I think the worst times are when you don't know how long it's going to be, or you have a rough guide and then it gets delayed, and then it's delayed longer, and it just builds up. And I think that like you've got to go into school each day and get on with all this work, and you've got friends who you've got to, you know, go and have a good time with. But at the same time, you know, you don't know where they are. You don't know how long they're going to be away for. You don't know when you're next going to see them. And I think it can impact you, even if it's not impacting your work directly. It's going to have like an emotional effect. You know, you're going to find everything a bit more harder, a bit more stressful. Everything's a bit more difficult.
My dad's in the army, and his been deployed quite a few times, but one time that I particularly remember was when he was deployed for 10 months, I think it was. We had to finish our holiday early so he could go. We had he left on my parents' wedding anniversary, and he missed my birthday and Christmas. Yeah, we didn't see him for a very, very long time. It made me quite upset knowing that we didn't really know when he was going to be coming back. But I think my friends were really supportive, and the teachers used to help me send e-blueys to him at school, which was really nice. So everyone was really supportive, so it wasn't too bad at school, but it did make me feel a bit upset.
So Emily and Brooke told us about how they cope with all the normal stresses of school when they also have a parent deployed. Can you relate to that, Tom?
Definitely. I think what a lot of civilian children don't understand is it's constantly on your mind, whether that's mum or dad away, even if it's not on deployment and they're just away working a normal job somewhere else in the country. It's that sort of security you don't have of going back home to your full family setup. So, it does add more stress to day-to-day life.
Can you remember how that sort of thing impacted your day-to-day learning? Were there days where you were just a bit distracted at school, for example, or doing your homework?
Yeah, definitely. I think I probably played up to it a little bit too much. I used it as an excuse, but it does. When your mind's somewhere else, it's really difficult to get back on task and get on what you meant to do. So yeah, it's difficult.
It's really understandable, I think, that you would maybe be distracted in class or just feel like you weren't in the right mindset to be at school that day. Did you feel supported at school by friends and teachers? Were you able to go and speak to someone and say, do you know what, I'm just feeling really worried today, I'm anxious, I'm thinking about my dad?
Mum did a really good job of making the school aware, so teachers were brilliant. My boarding master, Mr. Hurd, was brilliant with me. So if he knew that I was a bit off, he could kind of see why. I was diagnosed with OCD at the time as well, so they were really helpful with that. That mainly stemmed from Dad being away, so I blame him for that, but whatever. He was great. The children as well, I don't think many of them knew, so they just treated me like normal, which is exactly what I needed. They were great.
That's great. So tell me a little bit more about your OCD. So that stands for obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
How did that manifest itself? What was that like for you?
Oh, various different ways. I think the most generic way that people kind of see it is everything has to be organized, color coordinated wardrobes, stuff like that. But for me, mine sort of stemmed from the worry of dad being injured or not seeing him again, because obviously the sort of things he was getting up to on tour. So mine was silly stuff like I had to do check around corners to make stuff like that. And it sounds really bizarre to somebody who hasn't experienced it, but yeah. Hopefully talking about it, people will actually realize that these things happen. And it's just it was my way at the time of dealing with the stress that was going on.
I think it's really, you know, understandable. You can see why you would have OCD, you would have obsessive compulsive disorder when you're in a situation where you feel so out of control.
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Great. I suppose that your mum was a mental health nurse, so presumably did she really understand?
Yeah, she was brilliant. Yeah, so it was kind of like constant therapy, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
she was sort of a rock during the time, so I couldn't really thank her enough for that.
Oh, she sounds so great.
You're listening to Squad.
Now, a big part of school and exam life is obviously studying and revising, having to be able to focus and remember lots of information under pressure. Well, let's join Emily and Brooke again and see whether they feel that being from a military family has affected their ability to learn and revise for exams.
How has the last year of learning for you gone? Have you had to do much learning?
Yeah, I've had a lot of revision to do because of COVID, like the main, like, official GCSEs were cancelled. To get our grade, the school wanted, for the majority of my subjects, they wanted 6 pieces of evidence, 2 past pieces, so old mock tests or topic tests, and 4 new. So I had to do 4 assessments in every one of my subjects, which was a lot of exams, which took a lot of revision. You've recently had to do some revision too. What exams was it for?
It was for Common Entrance. But it was a bit more difficult revising for that because obviously my parents were in the Netherlands and our exams were after our half term. So I had to go to a friend's house over that half term and we were just revising over half term in her dining room with all of our books, like, all so messy across the table. And we got a bit of fun stuff in, but mainly all day we were revising. And it was a bit different because I didn't have my parents there, so I kind of had to get on with it by myself. And we were just doing it kind of together. But it was good because we were both in the same boat. We knew what we had to do.
Yeah, I think my parents definitely motivated me to make me revise. So it must have been, well, did you find it more difficult when you didn't have your parents there, when you were in that situation of having to revise?
Because we were both revising together and we knew that it was coming quite close, we kind of did get on with it and do it because we both wanted to do really well and we wanted to get good results. The hard work did pay off, which was good, but it was very different because for like the tests that we have like every year, my parents do normally say, all right, Emily, you need to revise now, and they do like help me, but having my parents not there was very, very different. Is there any advice you would give to me preparing for GCSEs? Any revision, like, tactics or anything?
I think it's important to find a way that you find best to revise, because everyone obviously has different ways of doing it that they find more beneficial. But one thing some of my friends did, which I think would have been a really smart idea, was obviously you have, like, end-of-topic tests building up to the GCSEs, and they made, like, flashcards for each of them, like, and kept them like safe, ready for GCSE. So they had all of like the materials ready when it came to the GCSE like revision period, where they already had like everything they needed. They didn't have to like make the revision materials. They just had them and could like get revising straight away. Whereas a lot of other people say, right, I'm going to revise for history now. And actually you spend a lot of the time finding stuff to revise for history with. And then you do a bit of revision. And actually then you've just wasted a load of time and not done as much revision as you could have done. What advice would you give to other people going through Common Entrance exams, SATs or other exams?
I found it really nice revising with my friends, especially if you're boarding, because you can revise with your friends. I found that really helpful because we were all in the same boat and we all knew what we had to do. And also try and find a way that suits you for revising, something you can have a bit of fun with.
So you heard Emily there talking about having to revise with her friends because her parents were posted in a different country. Is that a common experience for military teenagers, do you think?
Yeah, I think I definitely experienced that as well. I think my first sort of major exam, I was in a room with, I think it was 5-6 other boys. So as you can imagine, revising was quite difficult, but we got forced to sort of help each other and revise with each other. So yeah.
That's so different to my experience because all of my revision was done from home, like sat at the dining room table with my mum and dad, like being like, how are you getting on? Like, do you want any help with anything? And sort of like encouraging you to and going, I haven't seen you do much revision today. But I feel like if you were just in a room with a few of your mates, you'd just be, you know, the temptation to mess about is there, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. I mentioned Mr. Hurden previously. He was very strict on like revision times and stuff like that. So. Luckily,
so basically the teachers have to play that role in the boarding school, I suppose, of the parents and encourage you to revise.
Yeah.
I think we've got a shout out to Mr. Hurd because he sounds like a bit of a ledge.
Yeah, Mr. Hurd, he was a legend, yeah.
You're listening to Squad.
Results day, be it common entrance exams, SATs, GCSEs, A-levels or uni results, are up there with some of the biggest, most important days of your life. All that work boils down to the letters and numbers on that piece of paper. Tom, can you remember any particularly significant results days? Was your dad ever able to be there for any of them?
The main one that sticks out for me is probably GCSEs. I was a nervous wreck for that. I can't actually remember if Dad was there or not because
it's
I was more worried about the results. And then obviously A-levels as well, which I think Dad was there for, but we'll skip over the A-level results. I'm glad rugby came in play there. Yeah.
Well, and like Tom and definitely me, Emily and Brooke have both recently received some grades. For Emily, it was her common entrance exams. And for Brooke, it was her GCSE results. We actually recorded our conversation with Emily and Brooke on GCSE results day a few hours after Brooke opened her results. Let's find out how she got on.
So I got a 6, which is a B in further maths. 7s, which is like an A in Spanish, philosophy and ethics, physics, maths and English language, and then 8s, which is like an A star in chemistry, biology and English literature, and then a 9, which is kind of like an A star star in drama and history.
Brooke, that is amazing! How good is that?
That's brilliant, yeah.
Well done.
We are very, very impressed.
How does it feel to have got those amazing results?
I was definitely very pleased with them because obviously with COVID and everything, you didn't like know how things are going to turn out in the end, with like the disruption and everything. But I did some exams. I got the results from then. So I kind of had a vague idea of, okay, this should be all right. Then I got the results and they were even better than what I was expecting. So I was like, okay, that's a big relief. That's really good. Yeah.
Were you nervous before you got the results last night and in the morning before you got them? And could you actually sleep last night? Or were you too nervous?
I was quite nervous to get them because obviously it can affect like sixth form and like whether you get in and what subjects you're allowed to do and stuff. But they were good. So it was okay.
Parents really proud of you when you got the results?
They were acting like very calm and everything about it, but then once I told them, they definitely seemed like very relieved and obviously very happy for me as well. My mum was very excited that, you know, I'd done so well, especially with the maths, because I think I used to struggle with that a lot, which she helped me with when I was younger, and so I think she was quite proud to know that actually I'd managed to do quite well in the end. Where were you when you got your common entrance exam results?
Well, we were all outside waiting for our tutors to take us into our classroom and give us our results. They gave us a piece of paper and they talked us through the results. And then we went out back outside so the next person could go in. Other people's parents were in the car park waiting to pick them up after they got their results, so they were probably quite tense about what they got. Obviously, my parents weren't there. So, but it was really nice going back to the boarding house, and in the dorms, everyone was like, we put the radio on really loudly and we all like started singing along and celebrating that way with all of our friends.
How did you do in the exams?
I did really well. I was quite proud of myself because obviously my parents weren't there to help me. So I was doing it all on my own with a friend. And it had been quite a difficult year because of COVID and lockdown. I was, when everyone else was back at school for some of the term, I was still in the Netherlands or in quarantine. So I had missed quite a bit of school. So I was really proud of the results considering what I had gone through. And my parents were really proud of me as well, which was really nice.
The thing that stands out for me is Emily saying that lots of her friends' parents were there on results day, whereas hers weren't, and she had to open results with her friends instead. Did you feel like your dad was still involved in your school career, even if he couldn't physically be there? Did you have a way of sort of keeping him in the loop? Did you send him sort of your end of term reports and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. Luckily, most of my reports were good, so he was pretty happy.
I was actually going to say, like, there's a silver lining to this in that if you got a bad school report and dad was away, you're not going to get in as much trouble.
Hide it.
Yeah, exactly. Accidentally throw it away before he comes home.
Yeah.
And, you know, these big milestones, these achievements don't just end when you leave school. You're now a rugby player and your dad is still serving. So has he been able to come to any of your games and revel in any of your success?
Luckily he hasn't been too busy with deployment recently. So he's managed to come to a few games. It's sod's law that as soon as he's less busy at work, Corona hits and we can't play games in front of crowds and stuff like that. So I think he's still looking forward to his main spectating role.
You're listening to Squad.
So we know both Brooke and Emily are getting great results at school. And despite all the challenges and hurdles that military life can bring, they both have bright futures ahead of them.
Has being a military child ever influenced you in your decision for what you want to do in the future? And have you ever considered a future being in the army or the military?
Being part of the forces is not something that I think is quite for me. Like, obviously, I feel very proud that my dad is and everything like that. But I did try school CCF because, you know, your dad's in the army, you're going to try it. But I think after a couple of weeks, I was like, oh, you know what, I'm happy being a military family. I think I'll just, you know, that's enough for me. But I think the only impact it's really had on my future is just, you know, that you have a lot more, like, knowledge of, like, the world from travelling and, you know, you've met a lot more people, you know, a lot more friends around the world. And I think people often see it as something that makes it a lot more difficult, you know, do something that you want to do because you're constantly moving, so you can't stay in one place and work on something. But I think that if you really want to, you can make it work if you try.
So what is your next step after your GCSEs? Will you be doing your A-levels or will you be going to college? What are your plans for the future?
So I want to go to sixth form and do psychology, biology and drama. After that, I'm not so sure. I've looked into, like, teaching for, like, primary schools and stuff, but I think my main dream would be able to, like, pursue acting. But obviously it's not something that you can be 100% sure is going to be, like, viable for you. So I guess I have to wait and see. What do you plan to do in the future, and have you ever considered being in the military?
I plan to do GCSEs and A-levels, and hopefully on to university. I've got quite a few options of what I, like, am interested in being, but I'm not really sure yet exactly. I have considered being in the military, but I'm not sure it's for me. But I will give CCF a go at my senior school because I know they do it. It would be interesting to see how it actually is. I think that would be quite exciting.
So they both mentioned CCF, and as a civvy, I'm going to need your help there, Tom. What's that?
That is cadets.
Oh, cadets. Yeah. Okay, so I've heard a lot about cadets, but I feel like I don't know a lot about it. Did you do it?
I did it for a little bit. It wasn't for me. I think I had my exposure from stories from dad, so I kind of just stuck to the rugby side of things.
Well, today's guests are on the cusp of their next chapters, with Brooke looking ahead to her A-levels and Emily her GCSEs. They reflect on how being from military family has impacted their lives so far.
Although at times it can seem so difficult, you know, with everyone going away, constantly moving and, you know, all of the pressure that's put onto you. But I think if you try and see, like, the benefits of it, like the experiences you'll get that some people, you know, will never get to experience, like travelling the world and meeting so many people, I think, you know, if you see the best in it, then actually it can be quite, like, an amazing opportunity for you.
enjoy being a military child, because not everyone is a military child. It can seem tough at first, and sometimes it is quite tough, but there is lots of positives about it, and you should just really, really enjoy it, because it's a unique opportunity to have, and there are lots of positives that come with it, even if sometimes it's quite challenging.
Some amazing advice there from Brooke and Emily. Tom, what words of wisdom would you give to military teenagers who are sitting exams and starting to think about their future careers?
It's easy to say now, but I'd just say take it a step at a time. Focus on the here and now. Try your very hardest to get the best results you can, and just let everything else fall in place.
Love it. Very good advice. That's all we've got time for today on Squad. A big thanks to Emily and Brooke for sharing their results day and experience of exams with us.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.
And thank you to you for listening. We'll be back with a brand new episode soon. But in the meantime, please follow and subscribe to Squad wherever you get your podcasts. You've been listening to Squad, brought to you by the charity Little Troopers and produced by TBI Media. To find out more about the work they do supporting the children of the British Armed Forces, visit www.littletroopers.net.